You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is great to be here with you. I'm putting on my radio voice. I'd like to welcome you. Do you know I'm about to launch actually a radio program, an actual radio program.
So maybe
I can practice that. Yes, it'll be launching soon, and we'll be playing the hits all day and all night. It'll be called Ed Stetzer Live. So it'll be it's no podcast with you, but other than that. It'd be fun. So
give us the details. What is that?
It's going to be on Moody Radio. Okay. So several hundred stations will launch out with it. And I'm going to start with a weekly, kind of have some conversation about church and culture. And I wasn't making, I was just having fun with my radio voice. I wasn't trying to, we didn't plan this beforehand, folks. So,
genuinely curious. And so it's going to be syndicated too then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. And what the great thing is, you know how like, you know, I'm recording this right after I spoke to the Foursquare. You know, had a wonderful time with my Foursquare brothers and sisters. I don't know. They have 5,000 people at their meeting. I don't know. That's pastorally speaking. It could have been, you know, seven people. It looks like 5,000 to me, but it looked like thousands.
Yeah, round
And yet on radio, you know, you can kind of, you can kind of think that now instead of traveling, I can just go to my office and talk to thousands of people. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Just make sure that with you not traveling as much, if you're doing this more, you know, just don't become a curmudgeon.
Wait, become? I thought I already was a curmudgeon. Who's a curmudgeon? It's like, do people who don't travel become curmudgeons? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I don't know. You just become so insular.
I love everybody. How would I be insular?
No, I'm saying don't. I'm saying don't become that way.
I gotcha.
Because you're gotcha. Not. Yes.
I am not yet, but you're making me a curmudgeon. I want to be like that church curmudgeon. You know, I know who that is.
Do you know who that is? Yeah,
I do know who that is. We've exchanged tweets. He's a good guy. And a fun guy. He sometimes, you know, takes a swing at me, but you know, I'm good with that. I want to be in the Babylon Bee more. That's my goal.
and I really want to know who fake JD Greer is too.
Okay.
There's a fake Ed Stetzer as well.
There's actually a couple, but the one most recent actually was kind of funny. There have been some mean fake Ed Stetzers, and there's been two Ed Stetzer goatees, but none of them last. You got to have staying power to be a fake account, and that fake JD Greer, by far the best.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, today, let's get into our question. It's a fascinating one because it's a guy who's, I guess, taking over a dying church, and his question is whether or not he should revitalize it or replant it. So let's listen in.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, my name is Doug and I'm a bivocational pastor in Missouri. I work full-time in retail management and last year started pastoring at a church that was nearly dead. My question really revolves around the idea of restarting a church for the sake of the mission. Since the time I've been there preaching, being pastoring the congregation, really feel like God has definitely brought some signs of health and some renewal to the congregation, but wonder if the mission wouldn't be better served if we just kind of killed the whole thing and just restarted and started with something new. Thanks a lot. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Now, just in this last week, this is actually the second time I've had a conversation on this. I was connecting with a local pastor here in town over lunch, and he was talking about a church who was basically like, hey, we'll give you our property, we'll give you our church, we're dying, can you please help us out? And the question that he was having is, well, should we go and revitalize it or should we go and replant it? So what do you think the differences are, and what are your thoughts on Doug's question?
Yeah, I mean, so of course we don't have enough information, unfortunately, with this speak pipe thing. Is that what you call it? Speak pipe?
Yeah, speak pipe.
Speak pipe thing. These fancy technology. I'm turning into a curmudgeon. These fancy technology.
On the interwebs.
Yeah, on the interwebs with the kids. The kids are on the Facebook. The challenge is that you don't get the specificity of detail. So, so you know, the question is, I mean, it's really it's not a simple formula. It's not like if you got 14 people, but you don't have 15 people, you should do so and so. But a lot of it is, you know, I mean, does the church have a bad reputation in the community? Does the church, is it seen as something that you don't want it to be seen as? And is is a fresh start, is, you know, letting the grass grow around the church and letting, leaving the lights off and putting a sign saying closed and then 6 months later saying new church coming. Is that going to do something that couldn't be overcome by an established church having a renewed vision? And so, you know, I mean, I think both matter. I tend to think that for most people, revitalization is the answer. But that's harder. I mean, it's harder to walk with a group of people who have kind of, if you're in a church that's stuck and stagnant, dead and dying, it's probably there because of some choices that it has made that has led to some of those issues. And the people who made those choices are still there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is it easy? Is it better? I don't know. But what I would say is that I would look at the calculation and say, is God, and there is, again, this is, again, I know there's no numbers here and, you know, people love numbers. Is God still at work in a way that we can build upon with people that are, that love Christ and want to walk in the light of his mission, who want to reach people? And if so, because, I mean, if you restart, basically you're telling those people to go away. I mean, a restart is you go away and then come back when we start the church. And so that's what I want to ask. Now, if Ichabod has been written, I can, there's my curmudgeon, right? Ichabod. If Ichabod has been written, that's a thing. It's in the Bible. I know you have a Bible somewhere in your office, Daniel. If I know in Canada, they make them.
It's open, but if, right in front
it
of
is,
my face.
It is right now. Praise
Romans
God.
Chapter one right now.
Oh, nice.
I'm preparing a message to speak with the Calvary Chapel. Their pastors and leaders conference.
I actually opened my Bible to actually read it as well, but I'm glad you're working on a message. You might try reading it as well. But so what I would say is, if you can, if you kind of see where there are insurmountable obstacles, but an opportunity for a new church plant, and the church is willing to do that, depending on the denomination, you know, some denominations can close down their churches, others can't. Then I would look at the possibility of a restart. Now, that's, again, I don't know how helpful that is, but tell me more. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. So it's fascinating because that, I mean, there definitely is that distinction between the revitalization and the replanting. Both in both instances, the individual needs to come and be able to inject fresh vision. But when it comes to the replanting, it really is a let's shut it down. And 3 months later, 6 months later, whatnot, you know, let's develop a new core team and replant it, you know, repaint it. And we've, if you're looking into replanting and revitalizing, we actually have a full month of content where we interviewed Mark Jobe and Mark Clifton, and we produce resources and all that stuff for.
Is it like a thing that your name has to be Mark? Is that kind of a thing?
I think so. I think that's what it is. So. Nice. So in light of that, right, if you look at those two differences, that's the question that was even asked of me. What do we do with the faithful 12 that have stuck around, the faithful 12 that have said, here's our building, here's our assets, here's our land, please take us over? And you tell them, well, okay, but we actually have decided to replant this and we're going to shut it down for 3 months and then we're going to replant. And they're like, but can we just meet in the church basement for 3 months? What do we do? Do we go away? So what are your thoughts on that specifically?
Well,
for
typically,
the faithful few?
Yeah, typically you go away. Typically you don't start a church with the core group of a dying church. You know, it doesn't,
you know, when
it's
you
not,
say it that way, it makes sense.
Well, I mean, so I'm for, I love everybody, you know, and I'm for church revitalization. I've written more on church revitalization than I have on church planning. Matter of fact, I think either Tom Rainer and I, because we've done stuff together, we're the two, we've written more on this than anyone writing today. So I care deeply about church revitalization. So, but I think it's just a different thing. And so when you start a church, you can't, I mean, generally the patterns, it needs to be a fresh start. And so the building in a sense has to be gifted. So I will tell you, what I've advised, I've been in a consulting role with some situations like this. And what I've said is to the people, what the church planner needs to do. So new church planner A comes into town. There's an established church that closes down, gives the building for the church plant, right? And what I say to the people, I said, this is a great gift that you're giving. And what we're asking is that you would feel free to come back once the new church is planted. So in other words, they're not generally part of the core team. So it creates a new culture, a new whatever. And this is a great sacrifice on the part of an established church. Now, this is an established church that's closing. Remember, most of them should just work towards revitalization.
Yeah.
But if it's closing, I think that the people who closed it should come back after the new church has gone public. And if this is fits who they are and they want to rejoice and worship in probably what's a closed, I mean, what's a changed building, you know, a closed church becomes a changed building because it gets revitalized, then I think that could be a good thing. But I think restarting is not basically having the same people with a new name at a church. Yeah, I mean, that's a thing too, but that's not restarting.
And that's a good distinction. So number one, Doug, and anyone else who is in a similar situation, you definitely have to pray through it. I mean, I think that's an obvious and look at your given context and who is there and see and prayerfully discern if it's something that can be revitalized. But on the planter side or on the pastor side, Ed, what would you say would be the key distinction between a revitalizer or a replanter?
Well, wow. So, I mean, you're looking for more entrepreneurial gifts.
You're looking for
some entrepreneurial in both of them. Mm-hmm. But for the replanter, I'd say more entrepreneurial because when you're doing replanting, you're basically looking at some of the same characteristics of church planting. So think about, you know, a standard assessment, you know, visionizing capacity, ability to develop leaders, some entrepreneurial leadership ability. A church revitalizer, I think, has to have those leadership characteristics, but probably has to have more pastoral skills to help people walk through that. Probably has to have, more of the pastor-like attributes mm-hmm. that a church planter may develop later, but a revitalizing pastor has to have now. But I think leadership is essential for both. We've seen that in the research we've done, is it really, really matters that effective leaders be in these roles.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we pray and hope, Doug, that was helpful. And for everyone else listening, if you haven't yet sent in a question, be sure to do that. It's free. Speakpipe.com/newchurches. Free to subscribe, free to send in questions. I mean, we just want to bless you and come alongside you in this journey of leading, of planting, of multiplying. And yeah, any question you have on planting, multi-site, leadership development, discipleship, I mean, any of that, we would love for you to send that in and keep on tuning in. Now, Ed,
yes,
subtly texted me while I was doing the outro.
What did I say?
You said you should. I just love working with you, Daniel. Daniel, I just love working with you. You are the best.
You're the fourth member of the Trinity.
I'm so glad you rewrote Planting Missional Churches with me.
Pretty much did all the work. But just keep in mind that nobody heard of Daniel M. You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I found you. And no, I'm just kidding. You're doing a great job. And anyway, but all right. So wrapping up the show.
Yes. Wrapping up the show with an upcoming leadership class.
Yes. Oh, yes. 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 So we have a leadership class on church revitalization and leadership in general. One of the key things that I think matters is developing better, more and better leaders. And so people are interested in go to Mission Group. And if they go to Mission Group, we've got lots of resources there. But we both have a leadership course, which I think is essential for replanting and revitalization. And now we have the largest course we've ever done, which is on revitalization as well for some people who might be interested in that subject.
Good deal. We'll catch you next time.